Hare Krishna. It is a great pleasure to be here this evening, especially, well, in the presence of their lordships and at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and by the side of His Holiness Bhakti Chulu Swami Maharaj and with all of you. To begin, I will read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam and part of the purport, because it's a long purport, and then I'll speak a little and we'll request Maharaj to speak more. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 18. Kiratahunandra Pulinda Pukasha Abhira Shumbaya Banakashadaya Yanye Chapapa Yadapashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Namaha Kiratahunandra Pulinda Pukasha Adhira Shumbaya Vanakashadaya Yanye Chapapaya Dapashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Namaha. Please repeat. The translation doesn't include the translation of these different terms, so we'll read the synonyms so you can get some idea. Kirata.
Kirata.
A province of old Bharata.
A province of old Bharata.
And the purport, Srila Prabhupada says it, these are generally known as the aboriginal tribes of India. In Bihar and Chota Nagpur. Huna.
Huna.
Part of Germany and Russia.
Part of Germany and Russia.
Andhra.
Andhra.
A province of southern India.
A province of southern India.
Pulinda.
Pulinda.
The Greeks.
The Greeks.
Pokasha,
Pokasha,
another province.
Another province.
Abhira,
Abhira,
part of old Sindh.
Part of old Sindh.
Shumba,
Shumba.
Another province.
Another province.
Yavana.
Yavana.
The Turks.
The Turks.
Kasha Adaya.
Kasha Adaya.
The Mongolian province.
Mongolian province.
Yay.
Yay.
Even those.
Even those.
Anye.
Anye.
Others.
Others.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Papa,
Papa,
addicted to sinful acts.
Addicted to sinful acts.
Yet,
yet,
whose,
whose,
apashraya shraya,
apashraya shraya,
having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord,
Have you taken shelter from the rulings of the Lord?
Shudyanti. At once purified. Tasmai. Unto him. Bhava Vishnave. Unto the powerful Vishnu.
Namaha.
My respectful obeisances. Translation. Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Huvinda, Hokasha, Abira, Shumba, Yavana, members of the Kasa races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, due to the Lord's being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The above mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnava cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnava is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnava, even the Kirata, etc., as above mentioned. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, it is said by the Lord that there is no bar to becoming a devotee of the Lord, even for those who are low born, or women, Shudras, or Vaishyas. And by becoming a devotee, everyone is eligible to return home back to Godhead. We are all sitting here by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, who was the powerful devotee described in the verse. Even people from sinful races or sinful communities or sinful backgrounds could be purified by taking shelter of him. Apashraya Ashraya, to take shelter of one who in turn has taken shelter of a devotee, who has taken shelter of a devotee, who has taken shelter of the Almighty Lord. We may take it for granted that anyone can be elevated in Krishna consciousness, no matter what his or her background is. But when Srila Prabhupada began his mission, there were many people from India. Even now there are some, but then especially there were many people who objected when Srila Prabhupada had established ISKCON in America. He wanted to return to India with some of his American and European disciples. He said that the Indians are very eager to imitate the Americans. So if they see that the Americans have taken to Krishna consciousness, they might also want to imitate that. So we returned with Srila Prabhupada to Bombay, and people could not believe what they saw. They could not imagine that Americans and Europeans, white people, and slanty-eyed people could become sadhus. And we did Harinam Sankirtan, and some people, their hearts melted. I mean, tears were coming from their eyes. That the Americans and Europeans were adopting their culture to an extent beyond or far beyond what they were doing. One day we were doing Harinam Sankirtan, and we came in front of the state government building of Maharashtra called Sachivalaya or Mantralaya. And this huge building, and we looked, we saw like in every window there were people looking out at the devotees. And eventually after about, and then there were other people from the street that just gathered around. And after about a half hour or 45 minutes, some official came to us and requested us to stop or to move along, because he said the whole government machinery of the state of Maharashtra had come to a complete standstill. Because no one was doing any work. Everyone was just looking out the window at these sadhus. So, and Srila Prabhupada held a press conference. There were many articles that appeared, but there were people who took objection. They took objection to the idea that Srila Prabhupada could award initiation, or especially second initiation, brahminical initiation, to people who were not born Brahmins. And in one of the articles, it mentioned that one of the devotees named Gopal had been a construction worker. So someone wrote a letter to the editor saying, you know, a construction worker is a sudra. I mean, how can a sudra be accepted as a Brahmin? And Srila Prabhupada dictated a letter, and which was submitted in my name. And he said that, you know, what really counts is guna and karma, one's qualities and activities, not one's birth. And he said, besides, in America, people place a value on hard work, not like in India where, you know, being a construction worker is considered very low. One doesn't want to do that. And then he said that it doesn't really matter if people accept his disciples as Brahmins or not, because they are Brahmins. And he gave the example that a a lawyer in one province in India may not be recognized as a lawyer in another province, but he's still a lawyer. So Prabhupada had to face so much opposition in so many different ways. And he untiringly met all that opposition. And why? For us to establish our right to practice Krishna consciousness and engage in all the activities that are reserved for Vaishnavas. After about a year and a half of traveling with Srila Prabhupada in India, he received an invitation to go to Madras, but he couldn't go immediately because of other commitments. But four of us went. And our host, he was very strong on this point, that you're Vaishnavas. And Vaishnavas are greater than Brahmins. But you're not Brahmins. You will have to take birth in a Brahmin family in your next life. And then you can be a Brahmin. So one of the members of our party, there were four of us, was Achyutananda Prabhu. And Achyutananda Prabhu said that, and I cite this partly out of appreciation for Achyutananda Prabhu, but also to say how well Srila Prabhupada trained us in the philosophy, so that we could meet such opposition. So Achyutananda Prabhu said that one is born as a Brahmin or whatever, based on his past pious and sinful activities. So say we're born in lower family, someone's born in a lower family, it's because of his sinful activities. But what is stronger, the holy name of Krishna or one's sinful reactions? And the man had to admit that the holy name of Krishna is more powerful. So therefore, if we're chanting the holy name of Krishna, that can eradicate all of the results of our sinful reactions, including our lower births. And he had to agree. And that's also in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Aho Bhata Sapachogaryam, one who is engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord is he's considered to have taken bath in all the holy rivers, have gone on pilgrimage to all the sacred places and performed all the rituals and done all the necessities in his past life. And one who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. Immediately. He doesn't have to wait to take birth again. But of course, we also should not take it for granted that we're Brahmins, what to speak of Vaishnavas, but we should appreciate the principle that if we take shelter of a pure, empowered devotee like Srila Prabhupada, we can immediately be elevated or purified, shudyanti. We can be purified. And thus we can go on the altar and offer arti and perform all the different types of services. And this is achieved by the mercy of the pure devotee and the chanting of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, as Shukadeva Goswami began his prayers, this verse is part of Shukadeva Goswami's prayers before speaking this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. As Shukadeva Goswami began his prayers by discussing the word yat kirtanam, so also Lord Chaitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy name, a tremendous change of heart can take place, by which the complete misunderstanding between the human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. And after extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, as we have several times discussed in these pages. This is Chaitanya Marjanam Baba Mahadevagni Nirvana. Chanting. Anyone from any part of the world who becomes welcome. Oh, sorry. I missed one important sentence.
Yes.
So anyone, even those who are lowborn, is eligible to return home back to Godhead. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, who has thorough knowledge in the transcendental science of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people and may reclaim them by purification of heart. So here Srila Prabhupada is going a step further. He's saying that anyone from any part of the world can be purified by taking shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. And anyone from any part of the world who takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord and becomes well conversant in the spiritual science from the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, he in turn can also accept people from any part of the world and purify them. And we see that this is happening. What Srila Prabhupada did was unprecedented. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted Prativiteya Chejato Nagarahi Gram Sarvatra Pachorhoi Bemar Nam, that in every town and village of every country of the world, my name or Krishna's name will be sung or preached. Even devotees in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not understand how it could actually happen. They thought maybe it's some metaphor or some sentiment. And it actually came to pass when Srila Prabhupada left India at the age of 65 and came to America and began to chant Hare Krishna. And on Srila Prabhupada's behalf, so many disciples went to different countries. Srila Prabhupada went to a lot of places personally. It's almost unimaginable how someone at that advanced age, in such a short time, could go to so many places. Professor Thomas Hopkins he was a scholar of religious studies, and he was very, you know, impressed by Srila Prabhupada, and the devotees really studied Srila Prabhupada in a very favorable way and a sympathetic way. But he said to us, or of us, who are mainly 18, 20, sometimes 16, or maybe 22 or 24, that you really cannot appreciate or comprehend what your spiritual master has done because you're too young. You don't know what it's like to be 65 years old. So, I mean, even for young people to travel, you know, long flights is difficult. But when you get older, it's more difficult. And it's like amazing, even from the physical point of view, what Srila Prabhupada did. And then on his behalf, with his blessings and inspiration and empowerment, disciples went all over the world to various remote places. Some of the places mentioned here, Russia, China, and those places that were so hard to enter because of communism, and it's like so many people are becoming devotees. So what Srila Prabhupada wrote here is really true, and has been proven and is being confirmed every day. Anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee, and a spiritual master for the general mass of people, and may reclaim them by purification of heart. Though a person be even the most sinful man, he can at once be purified by systematic contact with a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, therefore, can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world without any consideration of caste and creed, and promote him by regulative principles to the status of a pure Vaishnava, who is transcendental to Brahminical culture. By the order of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavad Gita, can be preached all over the world, reclaiming all persons willing to accept the transcendental cult. So, this is really the only qualification to take shelter of a pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada. Once, Tamal Krishna Goswami, this was when Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, Tamal Krishna Goswami went to a hospital to get a hernia operation. At that time, it was the best hospital in Bombay. But Srila Prabhupada was very concerned, and he wanted to stop the operation because he didn't trust the doctors in India. He said that he should have the operation done in America. So in those days, it was hard to get a telephone. And even if you did get a telephone, which eventually we got, it was not that often that you that it worked. So somehow, Srila Prabhupada tried to get through to the hospital to send a message to Tamal Krishna Goswami not to have the operation, but he couldn't get through. And Srila Prabhupada was so concerned that he said, then we'll drive to Bombay. And that was not easy. But at least by then we had a vehicle. It was a Jeep, the old style with a canvas covering, and it was pretty basic. But yeah, Srila Prabhupada got in the Jeep and rode to Bombay to the hospital. So we found where Tamal Krishna Goswami was, because Prabhupada really wanted to stop the operation. But it was too late. The surgery had been performed, and they were wheeling Tamal Krishna Goswami out of the operation theater, the recovery area. And he was just sort of coming out of the effects of the anesthesia. You know, he opened his eyes and saw Srila Prabhupada. He was so happy. And he said, and what he said is very much in the mood of this verse and purport. He said to Srila Prabhupada that he had just had a dream about him. It also shows how Krishna conscious Tamal Krishna Goswami is. He had just had a dream about him, and in the dream, Srila Prabhupada was giving a report to the previous acharyas. And the previous acharyas were asking him, what is it like on planet Earth? You know, how is the preaching? And Srila Prabhupada replied that the people now on planet Earth have no background in pious activities. They're almost all engaged in sinful acts. They have no background in Vedic knowledge. And in fact, they have very little interest in acquiring spiritual knowledge. And in all respects, they have no good qualities whatsoever. But they do have one qualification, and that is that they have faith in me. And whatever I tell them, they do. And because of that one single qualification, they can be elevated, and they can serve the mission. So then Tamal Krishna Goswami looked at Srila Prabhupada like, you know, well, what about the dream? I mean, is this like some speculation? And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, yes, it is true. So, yeah, we're definitely here just because of Srila Prabhupada. And to whatever extent we've been able to follow him. At one stage, Srila Prabhupada wanted, well, I mean, it was a major concern of his to build the Juhu Temple. And we were raising some funds in Bombay, but not enough to meet all the expenses. So one of our friends invited me to a few places, but especially the Canary Islands, to preach. There were some wealthy, especially Sindhis there, who he thought could help. Well, it turns out that that they weren't that wealthy. I mean, they were nice people, but they actually weren't that wealthy. Earlier, I had gone to Lagos, Nigeria. Those people were wealthy. So anyway, that's a sort of an aside. But what I'm getting to is, so I wrote Srila Prabhupada a letter describing how I was preaching to them. And I had a very elaborate, systematic way of presenting Krishna consciousness to them. And they really appreciated it. But the only thing is they didn't have that much money. So Srila Prabhupada wrote back a letter to me saying that a man once asked his friend, "Are you intelligent?" And his friend started looking in his pockets. So the first friend said, "Why are you looking in your pockets?" And the second one said, "Well, if there's money, then it means I'm intelligent." So then Srila Prabhupada wrote that, you know, you've gone so far and you're preaching very intelligently. But if there's no money, where's the intelligence? And then he said, and this is the crucial point, that everything is working by my intelligence and your cooperation. In other words, in more direct language, we have no intelligence. Or in even more direct language, we're fools. And everything is working by Srila Prabhupada's intelligence and our cooperation. And Prabhupada used that word cooperation quite a bit. He would say, "Cooperate with me." So once I asked him, "What does that mean, cooperate with you?" He said, "It means to do what I say." So that's it. And not then, but now in retrospect, I'm thinking how, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My spiritual master saw me as a great fool and he chastised me." And so we should always feel like fools before Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. We shouldn't think that we can know better than they do, or, you know, do something that they never did which is better than what they did. And we should be ready to be chastised by them. And that chastisement can come in different forms. But we should be open to that. We should never, once again, in this similar context, one devotee in Mumbai said to Srila Prabhupada something about when a devotee is perfect. And Prabhupada interrupted him and said, a devotee never thinks that he's perfect. As soon as someone thinks that he's perfect, he's a rascal. And he quoted this. Guru more murka deki karila shashana. We should remain everlasting a fool before the spiritual master, and in this case before Srila Prabhupada, to be ready to be chastised by him. And then we're safe. And as soon as we think we're perfect, we're beyond being chastised, then we're rascals. Well, we are anyway. I mean, not you, but especially them. So I'll just wind up now because I'm also very eager to hear how it is about to choose Swami Maharaj and be chastised by him. Of the Vaishnav never accepts another Vaishnav on the basis of birthright, just as he never thinks of the deity of the Lord in a temple as an idol. And to remove all doubts in this connection, Srila Shukadeva Goswami has invoked the blessings of the Lord, who is all-powerful, Abha Vishnave Namaha. As the all-powerful Lord accepts the humble service of his devotee in devotional activities of the Archana, his form as the worshipable deity in the temple. Similarly, the body of a pure Vaishnav changes transcendentally at once when he gives himself up to the service of the Lord and is trained by a qualified Vaishnav. Therefore, he can be accepted as a Brahmin and worship the Supreme Brahman. The conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can under any and every circumstance accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as the spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than the Varnashramites, and he himself declared to teach us that he does not belong to any caste or social order of life, but that he is the eternal servant of the Lord who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan, that is, Lord Krishna. Bodhivartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Dasa. So, we are here today by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And if we're here tomorrow, it will be by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And when we're all dead and gone, and we hope we'll be with Srila Prabhupada in our next life, the people who will be doing the worship in this temple and the people who will be sitting here listening to the Krishna Katha, they will also be here by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And so, we owe everything to him, and we're happy to try to, not that we can ever even begin to repay our debt to him, but we're happy to dedicate our life to serving him as an expression of appreciation and gratitude for what he's done for us, which has enabled us to be here as we are today. Hare Krishna.